Right, let's have a look at the morning papers this morning. Mario Bassini, writer, broadcaster, is here. Good morning, Mario.
Morning, Vaughan.
Also, Stuart Hughes, who... I love BBC job titles. He's BBC News diplomatic producer.
Yeah, some may disagree with that title, but the job title is the diplomatic producer. Whether that is actually borne out by the facts, is I'll leave others to decide.
Right. Do you want to kick us off, Stuart?
Yeah, it's as you heard in the bulletin today, a row developing this morning about the Panorama programme, which is due to be broadcast tomorrow about North Korea, with the London School of Economics sending out a scathing email accusing the BBC of endangering students and academics by going into North Korea undercover. Well, the person who did go in undercover, John Sweeney, has written about his time in North Korea in the Mail on Sunday. It does read a little bit like John Sweeney's postcards, but John is never anything less than entertaining. And I think this will be a panorama that's well worth watching. He says, I've reported from Ceausescu's Romania, Saddam's Iraq, Mugabe's Zimbabwe, but I believe this regime, the North Korean regime, is the most frightening tyranny of all. The regime is mad, bad and silly all at the same time, but its grip is fading. And that makes it even more dangerous, rather like a cornered lion who perhaps is more dangerous than ever. Various discussions of North Korea in some of the other papers, the Telegraph looking at the Chinese city of Dangdong, which is the sort of gateway into North Korea. And we think of North Korea as this hermit kingdom of great poverty, but also there's obviously a number of people, an elite, who are benefiting from the North Korean regime, because it says that some of the merchants in the city of Dandong saying that rich North Koreans come over and buy as many Apple iPhones as they can. They buy 40 or 50 at a time and take them back with them. So some people are benefiting from their regime. But there is a rather lighter take on the North Korea story in the papers today, and that comes from Frankie Boyle, the comedian in The Sun. He says, I'm not that worried about Korean missiles hitting us here. I used to have a Korean car and it could barely reach Sainsbury. So at least somebody can see the light in this story.
Mario, you want to take us into Baroness Thatcher territory?
I've become a Thatcher correspondent this morning, I'm afraid.
Better than being diplomatic producer.
Sure, maybe that's right. But the one newspaper leading on the story this morning is, as you would expect, the Sunday Telegraph. They've got a story about the fact that we now seem to be... We want to permanentize, if there is such a word, the Thatcher legacy in this country by building monuments to her. And one of these monuments that now sort of has got several of her former cabinet colleagues' approval is to build a library, a museum and a training centre in the middle of London, which would, as I say, sort of commemorate Thatcher and her legacy. It would be something on the lines of the Reagan Museum in California, but not quite anything quite so grand, I'm afraid. The Reagan Museum in California contains the actual Boeing 707 that he used as Air Force One during his reign, for want of a better word. Margaret Thatcher's museum will contain the blue aquascutum suits that she wore and her handbags. Presumably one of the handbags will be the one that she used to handbag Kinnock, and maybe another one would be the one she used to handbag Heseltine.
I think a giant handbag statue would probably be the most suitable thing. Stuart, Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah, it does feel that some of the newspapers today, as Mario has said, there are acres and acres of coverage devoted to Margaret Thatcher and the funeral on Wednesday, but it looks like some of the newspapers are just trying to find something else to talk about in the papers, and The Independent on Sunday has gone with Guantanamo Bay. The reason for this is that there have been clashes at Guantanamo Bay in Cuba between inmates and some of the guards there. And some very strong words from The Independent on Sunday. On the front page, with a black background, Guantanamo, Obama's shame. Even George Orwell would have been pressed to conceive the plight of the 86. And on page two, Rupert Cornwell, over two pages, analyses what he calls the forgotten prisoners of America's gulag, and a really forceful opening paragraph from Rupert Cornwell, which ends, Al-Qaeda has been decimated, America's war in Iraq is over, and the one in Afghanistan will soon be over as well, but the scandal of Guantanamo endures. And perhaps not the sort of thing you're going to want to read over your Sunday breakfast, but it also some of the inmates there at Guantanamo Bay being force-fed, and a rather disturbing explanation of force feeding, which is going on at Guantanamo Bay, in a discussion of whether it's outlawed by the international community.
And now back to our Thatcher correspondent.
Yes. I mean, one of the things that caught my eye in the Sunday Times is a story involving her former advisor. Now, I've got to be careful here. I'd call him Charles Powell, but presumably he would insist on Powell.
His brother is Powell, but yeah, he's Powell.
Why he would insist on Powell, I cannot think, but he does. He's saying the fact, and there's a very good point to make in the end. I mean, all this fuss about the protesters, about the song, the ding-dong song or whatever, he's making the point that she would have relished all of this. She was, after all, a conviction politician. She insisted on sort of on backing herself, and she insisted on being divisive. She insisted on making her enemies plain and clear to her enemies that they were her enemies. So she shouldn't be at all surprised that our protesters, in fact, as I say, she would relish it. And there's nothing new in all of this, for God's sake. If you were brought up in the valleys in the 50s and the 60s, every time you went to the cinema and watched a newsreel and saw Winston Churchill, the man who saved Britain from Hitler,
he was booed.
All hell would break loose. Not simply boos, but catcalls and everything else. I mean, he was a total hate figure in the valleys in the 50s and 60s. So there's nothing new in any of this.
Memories of Tana Pandy. Stuart.
Measles, obviously the lead story here in Wales and the lead story in the Sunday Times as well. Sunday Times has kind of taken a look at the number of infections and made a conclusion that will be, which is that a death from measles is just a matter of time. The opening sentence in the Sunday Times lead story says health officials this weekend brace for the first death in the South Wales measles epidemic, with the number of cases expected to double to 1,400. In the Wales on Sunday, probably the sort of stories we've been hearing for quite a number of days. One parent in Bridgend saying, "I never had him done that, her son given the MMR vaccine, because of that doctor." That doctor, of course, being Andrew Wakefield, the now disgraced doctor, who was at the centre of the MMR autism row. But I mean, should we be in any doubt about the role that the media has, the importance of the media? It's picked up in the Sunday Times. The Sunday Times is very critical of the South Wales Evening Post over some of the emotive stories that it published about the possible link, which has since been discredited, between MMR and autism. And as the Sunday Times says, that the South Wales Evening Post frightened its readers like no other tabloid.
We have about a minute. Mario, give us a
second. Yeah, let me avoid Thatcher for a second. I'll go on to the story in the Sunday Times. This involves Amanda Knox. Now, she was the American accused of murdering a British student in the middle of Perugia. Originally, her and an accomplice, or alleged accomplice, an Italian, were found guilty. The Italian appeals court then dismissed that. And now an Italian appeal court, if you like, has dismissed the appeal. So there will be another trial. In the meantime, she's just about a sort of, she's made £4 million on a new book, which is just about to be published. Now, the man she tried to implicate in all of this, a man called Patrick Lumumba, who was a bar owner in Perugia, has actually accused her of, first of all, of doing the murder, and secondly, this is £4 million that she's got, is blood money. And she really shouldn't be taking it, which is a very interesting argument.
Thank you both very much indeed. We're a bit tight for time. There are many other things we could have talked about, and much we've enjoyed talking about this morning. Producer was Margaret Keenan. After the news is All Things Considered. Good morning, Barada.